From WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge, this is Louisiana Considered. I'm Alana Schreiber. On the show today, we've heard interviews with three Republicans and one Democrat running to be Louisiana's next governor. Today, we hear from the independent Hunter Lundy, who tells us more about his bipartisan campaign. But first, the latest Louisiana legislative session wrapped up last night. And from abortion rights to gender-affirming care to the salaries of representatives, this session had no shortage of heated discussion and controversial bills. Here to help us break it all down is Stephanie Grace, editorial director and columnist for the Times-Picayune. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And we're also joined by Molly Ryan, Statehouse reporter for WWNO and WRKF. Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Stephanie, I'll start with you. Who are some of the winners and losers of this session as we look back?
You know, it was a pretty successful session all in all, which happens usually when you have a lot of money, but there were a number of people who did not get what they want. So I'll run through some of them quickly. Start with advocates for abortion rights. Of course, Roe v. Wade was overturned last summer, and Louisiana had some very harsh laws on the books. There were a number of attempts to dial those back, for example, to add a rape or incest exemption and to decriminalize doctors, because right now, doctors who perform abortions can be imprisoned. All of those bills failed. There was an attempt to make it easier to recall elected officials. This is in light of the failed recall against Mayor LaToya Cantrell of New Orleans. And this bill also failed because the sponsor, Paul Hollis, ended up kind of dialing it back enough to get broader support. You know, it's kind of a, you know, you want to find the right balance between making it not too difficult and not too easy. And but he really lost some of the hardliners in that. And it ended up with a lot of finger pointing and recriminations and the bill being sidelined. Governor John Bel Edwards had asked the legislature for the first time he made that request to abolish the death penalty, which is on the books in Louisiana. We have a death row. We hardly ever actually execute people. That did not pass. He asked them again to raise the minimum wage. This is an issue that he campaigned on way back in 2015, has asked every year. It's happened in all kinds of states around the country. It has not happened here, and it still did not. He will get through his entire 8 years without being able to raise the minimum wage. Gun rights advocates had a setback. There was a bill that has been passed in some other states to allow concealed carry of firearms without permitting and without education. This kind of looked like it was chugging through the process, ended up getting loaded with unfriendly amendments in the end and killed that way. This is, of course, something John Bel Edwards has opposed, even though he's a gun rights guy in general. Law enforcement really opposes it because it makes their job more dangerous. Legislators hoping to get a pay raise next term were thwarted by legislators this term, many of the same people, of course. There was an attempt to raise the current pay, which is about $16,000, really very low. It's considered a part-time job, but it's a job that's very hard to have if you have a full-time job. So, you know, the feeling is that really affects who can do it and whether we can have a representative legislature. But it's a really politically hard vote to take in an election year. And even though a lot of lawmakers kind of bemoan the fact that they were voting no, they voted no. And finally, I'd say health officials, because at the very last minute, $100 million was cut from the healthcare budget. I'm talking about like the closing minutes of the session. So we'll be dealing with the repercussions of that going forward. A lot of winners because, of course, as I said, there's a lot of money to be spent. And I think the biggest winners are probably those of us who drive on our roads and bridges here in Louisiana, which are in deplorable shape and are going to be getting some big investments. My category of winners with an asterisk includes teachers who will get a $2,000 raise, $1,000 for support workers. Because of the mechanism used, it's not a recurring raise. It's this year only as of now, although it certainly could be extended in the future. It's also less than what the governor had asked for. And early childhood education proponents, there's a big chunk of federal money that's dropping off after it was pandemic aid, basically, to pay for these spots, which are considered really important for child development and also kind of parents being able to go to work. And the hope was that John Bel Edwards had asked for $52 million. It was dropped way down during the process. It got back up to $44 million, so they got a lot of what they asked for, but not everything.
Really runs the gamut. Well, let's dive into some of these topics a little bit more specifically. Molly, several bills targeting the LGBTQ community passed in the legislature this year. Can you explain what those bills do? Has Governor Edwards said anything about them?
Sure. Well, there are three main bills that passed the legislature this year that target the LGBTQ plus community in Louisiana. One of those bills is a bill that would ban classroom discussion of gender and sexual orientation in all K through 12 classrooms in Louisiana. Critics refer to this as a don't say gay bill, and Louisiana's version actually goes further than Florida's version that only bans that discussion in K through 3 classrooms. Lawmakers also passed a ban on gender-affirming health care for youth in Louisiana. That bill was originally blocked in a Senate committee, but that vote received a lot of backlash, and lawmakers ultimately voted to revive the bill, and they passed it. Despite evidence that shows that no gender-affirming surgical procedures were performed on minors in Louisiana between 2017 and 2021, that's according to a study from the Louisiana Department of Health. The legislature also passed a bill that would prohibit teachers from using students' pronouns that differ from their assigned sex at birth without parent permission. So students would have to get parent permission to use different pronouns, and teachers could still object to using those pronouns on religious grounds. All of those bills have been met with a lot of backlash from the LGBTQ plus community, and Governor Edwards has repeatedly called them unnecessary throughout the session, and he says he worries about their effect on youth mental health. And last night in a press conference after the session, Governor Edwards said he expects to veto those bills, that he plans to veto those bills. He took a pretty strong front on those, saying that he believes they're wrong and that the judgment of history will show that they're wrong, and equated people who passing these bills to those who were against civil rights in the 50s. But despite like his strong front that he put on toward these bills, all of them passed the legislature with a veto-proof two-thirds majority vote. That doesn't mean Edwards can't veto them, but it does suggest that the legislature has the ability to override a veto.
A couple of things that were really striking about this is one is Governor Edwards tends to be very kind of circumspect about what bills he's going to veto and not veto. And he was very direct last night. Of course, it was after lawmakers had adjourned, so they couldn't do anything. But like you said, he gave a really impassioned speech. It was very emotional. He said, we're on the wrong side of history here, and it matters what we do. It's as lawmakers, and really kind of pointed to the vulnerability of some of the kids targeted, and the likelihood that it could lead to suicide attempts, things like that. He said, "We're better than this." That was his line. And the other thing that's kind of worth watching is they did pass with a veto-proof majority, but because the session has adjourned, lawmakers would have to return to Baton Rouge to override his veto. And yes, they have the numbers to do that. He can also do a lot of leaning on them. He is a lame duck, so we don't know how much effect that will have. But you know what? A lot of them probably have beach vacations planned.
And they might be a little less willing to leave those beach vacations without their salary raise. Molly, there's also been a lot of debate about the spending cap. What exactly is that, and why is it so important?
Sure. Well, the state has a $2.2 billion surplus this year, and the spending cap dictates how much of that surplus lawmakers can spend. So originally, they could only access about $500 million of the state's surplus. The House and Senate were divided most of the session about whether to raise the spending cap. Senate leadership really wanted to raise the cap and said that it was necessary to fund one-time expenses like infrastructure and transportation projects that need more funding from increased costs from inflation. But House lawmakers were generally opposed to any increase in spending. They expressed a lot of concern about facing a future budget shortfall. In the final week of session, the Senate released its version of the budget that tied funding for several roads, bridges, and other projects to an increase in the spending limit, which put pressure on House lawmakers to compromise. And the House ultimately voted to raise the expenditure limit by $1.65 billion over the next 13 months. That's $650 million less than what the Senate had originally approved, but that is the compromise that the legislature ultimately adopted. And so it added a large pool of money that lawmakers could access for this year's budget.
And it, you know, it was pretty easy to see some parallels between what was happening during the session on this issue and what was happening in Washington at the same time in the conversation over the debt ceiling, which, of course, there was a lot of brinksmanship. There was question over whether this is a legitimate limit or kind of politicized a way of making a political point. It was, of course, the conservative Democrats pushing this in Baton Rouge against the Democratic governor. So parallel there, too.
Well, before we go, the legislature finalized its budget less than an hour before the end of session. What do we know about this budget right now?
Well, I think a lot of details are still unclear. Lawmakers on a budget conference committee, despite the end of the key debate over the spending cap, lawmakers on a budget conference committee did not release their budget compromise, their budget deal, until about a half hour left in the session, which left a lot of lawmakers confused about what the budget entails and frustrated that they didn't have time to look over the changes that came out of that committee. That committee happened behind closed doors between three House lawmakers and three senators. And several lawmakers were shouting at House Speaker Clay Schexnider with just minutes to go in the session about wanting more time to look over the changes. What we do know is that it does include a $2,000 teacher pay raise and a $1,000 raise for support workers, as Stephanie said before. Those are just one-time expenses, but the lawmakers on the conference committee included wording in the budget to urge and request that the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education include the funding again for those raises next year under the Minimum Foundation Program, which is a formula that is used to fund K through 12 education. So lawmakers would have to either adopt that formula or explicitly put the raises in the budget again next year, or else they would just be in effect this year. They also included a $25 million for a differential teacher pay, which would allow school districts to give teachers further increased teacher salaries of and hard to fill positions like science, math, and special education. We do know that they allocated $44 million to early childhood education, which falls short of Governor Edwards' goal of $52 million, but it is a large jump from the House's original budget that didn't include any of that money. And we know that they cut $100 million from healthcare. It is unclear why they did this right now, and it came as a shock to several people, including Governor Edwards, who said it was a surprise. He said he received no heads up, and he said that it was ridiculous that they would cut this amid a large surplus. But there is some talk that they cut that in favor of paying off more debt.
And, you know, that $100 million, not only was it a surprise, and not only is it $100 million, but it has the effect, it has the potential to cost the state even more, because that money is often used as a federal match to attract more federal money. So, you know, they call it a multiplier effect. It could end up being 200 million, even more. People were really blindsided by this. There was no discussion of what that would cover. There was it didn't come up in hearings. And I expect that there will be a lot of sorting out of this going forward. And certainly the governor said he will make every effort in his control to keep it from harming people.
Stephanie Grace, editorial director and columnist for the Times-Picayune, and Molly Ryan, State House reporter for WWNO and WRKF. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge, you're listening to Louisiana Considered. I'm Alana Schreiber. The election for the next governor of Louisiana is getting closer. And here on Louisiana Considered, we are bringing you a series of interviews with the candidates. So far, we've heard from three Republicans and one Democrat as they make their bids to become the state's next leader. Today, we bring you a conversation with independent Hunter Lundy. He spoke to the Times-Picayune's editorial director and columnist Stephanie Grace about why he thinks Louisiana needs a leader focused on bipartisanship.
So you've got a somewhat unusual profile for a gubernatorial candidate. You're a very successful plaintiff lawyer, which is something often associated with Democrats. And you're also an evangelical Christian, which is maybe more associated with Republicans. And you're not a member of either party, actually. You're running for governor as an independent. So, you know, for the listeners who are just getting to know the candidates, can you talk a little bit about your political philosophy? Maybe start by telling us where you fall on the spectrum from liberal to moderate to conservative.
Well, I'm the people's candidate. And, you know, I read Jim Wallace's book years ago. It's called God's Politics. And he said the right side of the Republican Party doesn't have it right. And the left side of the Democratic Party, or the Democratic Party, doesn't have it. And so I'm a guy about justice. You know, I believe that we're to do justice, love mercy, and walk with humility. And you call me a successful plaintiff's lawyer. I call myself a successful lawyer. I've represented a lot of people that were poor. I've represented a lot of wealthy people. I've represented a lot of homeowners. I represented a lot of people that were subject to the BP oil spill, which were a lot of businesses, both large and small. So I've had across the mainstream law practice for years. Yes, I've represented communities that were impacted by environmental contamination. So I've done those things. You know, the media wants to label me whatever they want to label me. That's fine. But I am for the people of Louisiana. And so we have some issues that need to be improved on. And I've gotten God's given me the ability and gave me the unction at the end of 2021. This is what I should do. And so I'm leaving the courthouse and I'm going to the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And so distinguishes me from the group. Have I traveled the world? Have I traveled with a South African evangelist for a few years? Yes, I did. Never leaving my wheelhouse. My wheelhouse is the law. My wheelhouse is helping people. And that's what I'm going to do.
Kind of on that topic, there's a school of thought you sometimes hear in Baton Rouge that one of the things holding Louisiana back is its legal climate, which some say favors plaintiffs over businesses. Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, I think the billboards, excessive billboards, aggravate people. Mm-hmm. Is there something wrong with our legal climate? No. You know, that is nothing more than political jargon that's coming out of one person's campaign who used to be chief of staff for Jindal and chief of staff for Vitter, who, you know, we faced a period of time when we had a governor that did not enforce the law. So 80%, and you can go to the master plan for coastal restoration, 80% of the problems we have in our wetlands today are due to the non-cleanup by oil companies. And mm-hmm. so they turn it into a political rhetoric. So I've pointed out already at the coastal restoration venue last Friday night at the oil and gas at the Capitol Museum that, you know, we got to be accountable. I'm about right. accountability. And so I don't care if you're small business, big business, an individual, whatever. Our system is designed such that we should be responsible.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's not just the one candidate. It is something, you know, Mike Foster said back in the day, people like that. So does this mean you support the lawsuits against the oil and gas industries out of some of the parishes?
I support people being accountable. And yes, the parishes have to get these this saltwater intrusion stopped. If we want to do coastal restoration, we've got to get it stopped. If we want to preserve our coastlines, we got to get it stopped. And mm-hmm. and so there is a master plan. Let those who are accountable to do it. I mean, I said last Friday night, I said, yeah, I was on the team that got the $8 billion for coastal restoration, and they only got $1 billion left. Mm-hmm. But there's a dozen more parties that are responsible for the mm-hmm. problems that we have across our state line. So, yes, they need to be accountable. And I know all of the other candidates are reluctant to talk about it because I guess it's who supports them or who gives them money or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I'm just a guy that wants the truth out okay. there and want people to count. And I've made it clear there has to be transparency. And so we need to have a website where people can follow the money. Who has the contracts? Who's doing the work? Where does the money go? When are they paid? What timeline is in place? And so I understand there's people that don't like that, and there'll be endorsements and games being played over money. And mm-hmm. so I love Louisiana. I love our sportsman's paradise. I want my grandchildren to enjoy what I enjoyed growing up. And so we want it fixed. And that's kind of who I am,
Stephanie. Moving on to other issues. Looking back when Governor John Bel Edwards was elected, in the campaign, he said the first thing he'd do is accept Medicaid expansion. And that's what he did. What's the first thing you'd do if you'd become governor?
Well, we're going to try to find the money to continue the Medicaid expansion for right now. But we're going to go in and we're going to tackle this this childhood issue in our schools. We have got to let teachers teach, and we've got to let children go out to play. We've got to fix the problems that we have in education first. When we do that, it affects crime. It affects economy. It affects poverty. And, you know, nobody wants to talk about these issues. And, yeah, they want to label people because they talk about them. Well, we're, you know, when you pull up a newspaper article and you read that the number one state in the nation is Louisiana for poverty, then we got a problem. But we know that education can fix poverty. Education can reduce the incarceration rate. We know that when our prisoners, 85% of the prison population goes back into the community. If they go back into the community with a high school diploma, a GED, it helps them. I'm telling you, if there's a job and a home for a prisoner when they get out, they'll never go back. Right. And so we have to change what we're doing in those.
So what kind of policies are you talking about? Because obviously education, we've heard, you know, it's everything from the culture wars to literacy to...
I'm talking about funding childhood education. 80% of a child's brain is formed by the time they're three, 90% by the time they're five. We only have 15% of our school, public schools getting the money to help parents with 3 and 4 year olds. Mm-hmm. Now we pick it up at pre-K. We have got to do that. We have got to find grant money. We got to allocate money. We got a $45 billion budget. You talk about accountability. We're going to look where the money's being spent, and we're going to put it in the areas that we know will best serve the people of Louisiana.
And so, of course, you know, the advocates for this were pretty disappointed in what came out of the budget this year, despite, you know, the surpluses.
Well, that's, I mean, I'm disappointed taking the $52 million down to 12 or 14 on Head Start in early childhood, because, you know, my mother was a kindergarten teacher. She started in the Head Start program. She later taught in college. My sister's a retired kindergarten teacher. I understand it. My daughter is a teacher. She's taught in high school. She's teaching in college. And so I know a little bit about education. I've heard it all my life. And so we know that we have to reach these children young, and we can change that. When we do that, they do become literate. Mm-hmm. And when they're literate, it matches right up with incarceration. Those that are incarcerated, many of them are illiterate. So we stop them. And then we got this money about this child care money. This is about helping single moms who have to work all the time. We got 800,000 single parents in Louisiana. What are we going to do? Ignore it? No, we can't ignore it. We got to lift them up. And by doing that, I mean, I said, yeah, we got to pay our teachers more. We need the money. Pay them more. The only debt I would forgive would be a teacher's debt that they borrowed, because that would even be 20% more of income. So I would forget that. And so we got to let our teachers teach. We got to let our children play. And we got to fix our roads.
It's nice to speak with you.
Same to you, Stephanie. Thank you.
From WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge, you've been listening to Louisiana Considered. I'm Alana Schreiber. Thanks to our guests, Molly Ryan, State House reporter for WWNO and WRKF, Stephanie Grace, editorial director and columnist for the Times-Picayune, and Hunter Lundy, Louisiana independent gubernatorial candidate. Our digital editor is Caitlin Umholtz, and our engineers are Garrett Pittman and Aubrey Purcell. You can listen to Louisiana Considered Monday through Friday at 12 and 7:30 p.m. It's available on Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Major support for Louisiana Considered provided by Rouse's Markets, a Louisiana shopping experience, with additional support from the Greater New Orleans Foundation.